My name is Don. I'm one of the pastors here at First Church. And this morning I have bad news for you, and good news. Bad news, John is sick. Bad news, you're stuck with me. But good news, I had 25 minutes to prepare, so it's a short sermon. All right. Okay, I'm going to speak slowly. I love my church family. My wife often tells me, or I tell my wife, I often get in trouble when I breathe. So yesterday, I'm at the store, and I'm at the deli counter, and I order my stuff, and the clerk, when we're all finished, said, "Happy holidays," to which I said, and I got the death stare. You know, you don't have to celebrate Christmas. It's okay if you don't want to. No problem. But it's Christmas, okay? If you don't celebrate, it's fine, but it's still Christmas for me and for us. It's Christmas, okay? When it's Hanukkah, I don't say, "It's not Hanukkah." No, it's not Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah, okay? And as I told First Service, we need to keep this a secret. Jesus, I don't know if you guys are ready for this or not, was a Jew, okay? It's just so, I just want you to know that, you know? And when Debbie and I lived in Miami, we had a lot of Jewish people that we knew, and we were invited to Seder meals and Hanukkah celebrations, and it was great because it's our tradition way back when, it is, okay? Now, we recognize the fact of Jesus, absolutely, but when it's Hanukkah, it's Hanukkah. But now it's Christmas, so it's Christmas, okay? So we're allowed to say Merry Christmas, okay? We're allowed to do that. I just read this morning about a TV newscast show in Japan, and they decided to do some surveys, and they went out on the street, and this is the question they asked. What is the meaning of Christmas? And the first person the news guy went up to and asked this woman, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" She said, I don't know. Is that the day Jesus died?" You know, there's some truth in her answer, because we can't say Merry Christmas anymore. We're not supposed to, but I know some of you do, and that's good. I don't know. Is that the day Jesus died? It's too bad. So, you like receiving gifts, especially when you were a kid. You love receiving gifts. What's the best gift you ever got at Christmas time? Did you ever get like a best gift? I just found out, just read about this church in San Francisco, where the church gathered money together. They wanted to buy a really nice outdoor nativity scene. And they saved their money, and they bought this very expensive nativity scene. And on December 26th, the pastor was walking into his office, walked by the nativity scene, and saw that the baby Jesus figurine was gone. It wasn't there. And he was really upset, and they just spent a lot of money. So he's going to the office to call the police. And just then he saw one of the kids from the church with a wagon, and the baby Jesus figurine was in the wagon. So he said, "Jimmy, what's going on? Why do you have that baby Jesus in the wagon?" And he said, "Well, Pastor, 2 weeks ago I prayed that I would get a red wagon for Christmas. And then I said, 'Jesus, if I do, I'll take you for a ride.'" See, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. You ever receive a present that you didn't like at all? I mean, you didn't want it. I couldn't tell this story at First Service because Debbie was sitting here, but she's downstairs, so we can talk now. Her mother is the worst Christmas buyer present in the world. A couple years ago, she gave me a bottle, a plastic bottle this tall with the Denver Broncos on it and had popcorn in it. This was about 5 years ago, so around 2014, something in that area. It was dated 1989. It smelled so bad, I dumped it in the yard, the squirrels wouldn't even eat it. I mean, it was bad. Man, I feel better since I shared that with you. Of course, if you tell Debbie, I'll say, I didn't say that. But maybe you opened a present one time, said $500 voucher. Wow, $500 voucher. But it was for wrinkle removal. Or if you're a kid, the worst gift, underwear. Thank you. I mean, you can't do that. So maybe you don't need that tie or that item that you get. However, there's not one person here that does not need the gift that God gave 2,000 years ago. We all need it. I want to read to you from the second chapter of Luke. Hear God's word. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. Worldwide, a Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Master and Messiah. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear. Deep within herself, the shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they were told. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Again, there's not one person here that does not need God's grace, God's forgiveness given by our God by taking on flesh and dwelling among us. We all need that. What's God's purpose in sending Jesus? Is that we need to deal with our sin. We might be thinking, you know, there's other people a lot worse than me. I'm okay. I don't really need this. I'm not that bad. Unfortunately, all of us are that bad. And all of us have to realize that society has put Christmas in the background. I just heard about a letter to the editor in a newspaper. And this guy said that he went into this bookstore, a big bookstore, and He was looking for Advent devotionals, and he couldn't find any. So he asked a clerk, "Do you have any Advent devotionals?" And the clerk said, "Oh, we had to put those to the bottom shelf to get room for the Christmas books." There's a problem here. There really is. There's a problem. Sometimes God is put on the bottom shelf of our life. Maybe we go for days or weeks and we don't even give him a thought, a passing thought. Is there more to Christmas than parties and gifts or a few days off from work? Is it possible that having Jesus at the center of our lives is what Christmas is all about? Maybe, just maybe. Christmas is so much more than a time to get the house decorated or to wrap presents or to go shopping. It's an active remembrance what God has accomplished in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the media says, no matter what the media tells you, it is Christmas. The way has been made clear. The great divide, the great chasm between God and humans has been bridged because of the birth of Jesus. The point is that God offers you eternal life through the birth of this baby. True peace is only found in Jesus. Once you accept the gift that God has given you, has bought for you through the perfect Jesus, once you accept that gift, you have to decide what you're going to do with the gift. What are you going to do with the gift? Are you going to regulate it to the bottom shelf? Are you going to put it in the attic or in the basement with the boxes of decorations and you get them out once a year for about a month? What are you going to do with the greatest gift ever given? In December of 1903, after many, many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful. They flew. And they were so excited that they telegraphed their sister, Catherine, and said, "We flew. We'll be home for Christmas." Well, she was so excited that she ran to the newspaper office, and Matt has my back. She ran to the newspaper office and told the editor, "Look at this message." And he glanced at it and said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He missed the point. The big news, man had flown. Do we miss the big news given to us 2,000 years ago? Here's more good news. It's not too late for you to accept the gift. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Wage is something we earn. And sin is something that all of us in this room do, and we do it well. And what is sin's wage? It's death. And as I said earlier in the first service, if that verse ended with, "For the wages of sin is death," and that was it, we are in a mess of trouble. But there's a but in the verse. "For the wages of sin is death, but there's a gift for you, from God. It's eternal life." And we talked about gifts that we don't want to get, that extra idiotic tie or something. But here's a gift from God, the God who created you, who knows you better than you know yourself. He has a gift for you. It's the perfect gift. It's the perfect gift. And a gift you don't pay for. A gift is free. And God has given us freely this gift. And it's eternal life. We simply have to accept the gift. Before you get a gift on Christmas Day, you have to accept it. Then it becomes yours. We have to accept the gift that God has given us. And then we need to allow Jesus to be in control of our life. Because again, we messed up enough. But with Jesus in control of our life, all of a sudden, it's so much better. Because Jesus is now in control. And he's perfect. The gift is perfect. Who's it for? It's for you and for me. It's not too late. If you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you never accepted that gift, today's a great day to do that. Today's the day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We're thankful that we can come here and worship freely. We're thankful, God, that you love us. But God, we just pause right now to thank you one more time for the greatest gift ever given, that you freely came, you lived among us, God with us, so that we can be with you for all of eternity in that perfect world. We once again, Father, just humbly say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we have. We pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.